This is the spoiler review of John Wick Chapter 2, starring a ton of folks you might remember from John Wick 1. First being Keanu Reeves, Common, Lawrence Fishburne, Ruby Rose, John Leguizamo, Ian McShane, Peter Stormare, Lance Reddick, and you put in Richard Scamario. Yeah, he's the main villain, basically. So if you haven't watched this movie, you should definitely put this on hold. Stop listening to it right now, because I'm about to spoil the crap out of this movie. So I'm giving you like 2 seconds to actually leave out. This is a great review I'm going to do as well, but you should definitely not listen to it if you don't want to know what exactly happens in this movie. So, after I finish the synopsis, I'm going straight into it. No joking. Alright. So, the synopsis is as follows. In the next chapter, following the 2014 hit, legendary hitman John Wick is forced back out of retirement by a former associate plotting to seize control of his shadowy international assassin guild. Bound by a blood oath to help him, John Wick travels to Rome where he squares off against some of the world's deadliest killers. Yeah, that's basically it. John Wick comes back with a lot of action, a lot of car driving, and a lot of headshots again. And it's awesome. It really is awesome. When you see Keanu Reeves step back into this character, you're happy about it. The story is semi drops off from the first one, because there's more of a cliche action, you know, drama kind of thing, where it's like, oh, this bad guy wants you to help him, and he double-crosses you. That's basically what it is. So John Wick is out to kill everybody, and it's amazing. I'm glad that they had Lawrence Fishburne in it, because he played a pivotal part. He really did. He helped him out during the halfway point of the movie, which if he didn't help him out, then John Wick would have been dead a long time ago. So think of Lawrence Fishburne replacing Willem Dafoe. That's basically how it is. So you have that happen, and you like it. You really do. The first 10 minutes, it's a action-packed scene where he's actually getting his car back, which for me, it ties in the first movie, because it's the cousin or the brother of the first movie's bad guy, which it's nice. But at the same time, I kind of wish that John Wick, instead of it being that's the 10 minutes where he's trying to get his car, it should have been the whole movie where he's trying to get his car and he's going from warehouse to warehouse and he's killing people from people, and then actually getting information from each warehouse to find out where is his car at the final scene. So that would have been cool for me. But the way I did it was fine enough, I guess. If I had to change it, it would be that. You could hear that on my podcast. That's what I would change. For the most part, the things I didn't like about this movie was probably the cliche of it, where it's like, oh, the bad guy turns on your main character. That's for me, it felt kind of dry. And the fact that every assassin is in New York City. I'm not even kidding. He goes to Central Park, and he's talking to Ian McShane, and Ian McShane's like, all right, I'm going to give you an hour because you crossed the line at the Continental, and he killed the main bad guy. So when he turns around, everyone leaves. I'm talking about there's at least 200-300 people. Everyone leaves out. So it's like, wow, that's a lot of assassins. For me, that was a drop-off point. I don't want to see that many assassins. It makes your world way too huge. And the fact is, if they do a third movie, he's going to have to fight every single one of them because of that $14 million bounty on his head. That doesn't sit well to me. It really doesn't. Like, I'd rather it be max 20 people he has to kill. Because then it's like, all right, it's a nice little area where he can actually do it. And then every assassin will have some kind of skill, and he'll have to fight against that skill, which is good. But if it's like 100 or 200 people, it's way, way too much. So for me, that's a drop-off. But I can say that. That's the only drop-off in the whole movie, is the fact that there's so many assassins, and he runs through most of them, basically. And everyone forgets to hear the story, which brings me to another drop-off, which is the token or whatever it's called, he has to actually do and withhold and actually make the movie happen, where it puts the main boss in a position where he helped out John Wick in John Wick previous, not even like John Wick 1, it's like John Wick before that one. It's weird. For me, when I hear that, I think, oh, so you didn't do it by yourself. All the story about you killing how many people to get out of the assassin life is not true. This person here helped you out. It diminishes your legendariness a little bit for me. But yeah, those are probably my top points where it didn't really work out for me too much. Besides that, action galore. I love Common in this. Common did his action scenes, and the way how he died was, he probably didn't die, but who knows? Because when he got stabbed in his heart, if he didn't move the knife, then he would live. But you could easily go to like assassin world and try to get that fixed, hopefully. Who knows? But I would love to see him come back in some kind of way, shape, or form. Or not come back, either one, because his death was a justified death. It actually reminded me of Collateral and Jamie Foxx and Tom Cruise. And it made me laugh a little bit. I was like, oh, he's on a train. It's like, no one's probably going to notice him until like tomorrow morning, especially in New York City. No one's going to notice him at all. But it made me laugh a little bit. Besides that, Ruby Rose, she did well for being a mute hitman. Or actually enforcer, she was. That's a good part for her. I was concerned if they made her semi-sign language and then talk a little bit too. I'm good with her not talking whatsoever. It makes her mysterious, and her death was justified. I'm good with that. I'm glad she didn't put up too much of a fight to John Wick, because when it comes down to it, John Wick's supposed to be able to take her on and dispatch her quite easily, especially if she's not an assassin at all. So she should be taken out real quick. Everything else, balls to the walls action, it was nonstop. You got at least, I could say twice as much action as the first John Wick movie. So for me, that's a plus. It really did basically double down on action, and that's what you need. So hopefully this movie does well. The first one was a silent hit. Like everyone noticed afterwards, like, oh, this is actually a good movie. This one, it doesn't drop off too much. If I could give a score for the first one, it'd be like a 95, and then this one would be like a 90%. So it's a very slight drop off, but the action picks up for it, and hopefully it doesn't go to like the like a transporter where it's like, oh, the story completely drops off. But it does hit you where you're interested in the characters, you really want to hear more from them, and you really want to see what happens in John Wick 3 if it happens, because after him getting the hour at the end, you're like, okay, he's running and he's injured. What's going to happen? So that is my review of John Wick Chapter 2. If you agree with this review, you should definitely go and comment on this post itself. If you don't agree with this review, let me know as well. I'd like to hear your point of view as well. So you can find me on social media, on Instagram, Snapchat, and Twitter at DwightAntC. That's DwightAntC. Again, that's DwightAntC, and I'll catch your viewers next time.